met some fans of the podcast last night.
Really?
Doing a gig at Pan Hill Hotel, which for people that don't know that aren't from Melbourne, it's very much on the bushy fringes of Melbourne, isn't it? It's right up the mountains. Near St. Andrews, past Eltham, that kind of area.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, the original Gold Rush sort of places, those joints.
Were they wearing beanies?
No. Well, you know what? I remember going there 10 years ago and it was pretty rough. Now it's all been done up, the pub, and it's just full of, well, you know, our fans. And he was a very well-dressed young man called Matt, who I kept calling tennis coach because he looked like a tennis coach. And then his dad was there who owned a company, and they're very, very well-dressed. But Matt, the young guy, big fan of the show. So hello to Matt. And but isn't
Did something happen to make you talk about that?
No, he just came. Well, I was picking on him. He was in the front row with
him. Oh, he's come to see the show, and he's and there you are. He loves you.
I'm his hero.
You're hanging shit on him.
Well, there was him and his mate Reese, and Reese said he worked at Coles. But then I said, well, you know, because he was like in his 30 maybe. Well, he's a bit young to be, a bit old to be a trolley boy. He managed 13 different Coles.
So, oh, hello.
Yeah, so I'm like, you're more corporate. You're a corporate guy. Anyway, and so they were there. But both of them were there with their mums and dads. And isn't that good that, you know, people in their 20s and that go out with their parents? Because I can't remember going to a concert or anything with my parents.
No, I reckon I went to a theatre restaurant once with my parents, but and it was, this generation does go out with their parents more.
Yeah, okay, because we're going to see me and my kids and Kieran, we're going to see Midnight Oil at a winery in about a month.
Now, there'll be a point where you will probably stand up and want to dance and you're going to embarrass the kids.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So do they like Midnight Oil because of you?
Well, yeah, my daughter who's 15 loves Midnight Oil because she listens to their music too and she likes them. She's the one who's into music. And the other two are just coming because they're sort of like, oh, yeah. You know,
have you seen them before?
Oh, yeah. I love Midnight Oil. They were one of the first bands I ever saw live.
So they've still got it?
Still got it. I saw them about 4 years ago at the Maya Music Bowl when they had the reunion. And I was talking to your mate, Wayne Hope, who was there with Brian Ankervis. Yeah. Two old rockers. And because, you know, Wayne Hope's a big Midnight Oil fan.
Is he?
Well, in one of his shows, I think it was Liberians, he was in a Midnight Oil cover band called Oils Ain't Oils. Which is,
I'm picturing a special section of the audience where
the boomer section or
the boomers with the kids. Yeah. They're there, and it's kind of like, you know, don't look over here. It's a little embarrassing. Yes. The kids don't want to be seen with their parents. Look, they're dancing, and everyone else is kind of like doing the normal rock and roll thing.
Yeah,
where you're just doing the.
I'll be doing air guitar. Oh, they were me not all. They were fantastic last time I saw them. And they're all like, they're older than us. They're like in their 60s now.
Yeah.
But, you know, because, I mean, it's just like a best hit show. You go, oh, this one. Oh, yeah, I know this one. Oh, yeah, this one.
Mm.
But, you know, there was no way I would have gone to a music concert with my parents. Because my dad liked, you know, Charlie Pride.
Yeah.
You know, Roy Orbison, I love Roy Orbison. But he would walk in and we'd be playing records, like new wave stuff. You'd be like, what the hell is this rubbish? It sounds like the cat's been run over, you know, that kind of stuff.
I can't. I went to some musicals with my mother.
Yeah.
I went to the opera once and got halfway through.
Yeah, but you left, didn't you?
I left. Halfway. I said, Mum, I'm just going to nip down to the bar with a few friends and I'll come back at the end and pick you up. Is that okay? And I wasn't happy. But she still got to see the opera. I mean, it goes dark. Yeah, that doesn't matter. Yeah. And we used to see, you know, your odd musical here and there, but no.
Yeah. I went to musical with my mother-in-law. I went to a few with her, actually. I went and saw The Seekers. Musical, which was great.
It's not looking good. I went and saw The Diary of Anne Frank with my mother.
Oh, that's right. When you were very young.
Very young. And I could have sworn the German troops were, you know.
Real?
Were marching down, you know, in Flemington there, in the streets.
Wow.
That was the first play I ever saw. And, you know, she was in the cupboard.
In the attic.
And it was upstairs in a like a converted house made into a theatre. It was like...
Oh, a bit bohemian.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good that your mum took you to that, actually.
Well, she took me to see Barry Humphries when I was 9.
You've talked about that. I've talked about that. When you were 9.
Yeah, I didn't get the jokes. I just knew that I wanted to do
it. He was funny.
He was funny.
He was funny.
Yeah, and it wasn't the big audiences then either. So, you know, I was way ahead of the curve.
Maybe back in our parents' days, there weren't as many concerts either. You know what I mean? Yeah, like they all went and saw Billy Graham at the Maya Music Bowl.
Yeah, he's like huge.
Yeah, mum and dad went. They're not even that religious, but they went. Mm. And apart from that, I can't remember them ever going. They went and heard Gough speak once somewhere, Gough Whitlam.
Yeah.
Speak some at some auditorium. But I can't remember them ever getting dressed up and going to a concert.
The only thing I can remember is when you were watching something that, like on an SBS when it first started and it went to a sex scene. It was a little awkward.
Yes.
Sort of, you know. What's going on? I don't know what's going on. What's happening?
I think
there?
It's still awkward to this day, even with our kids. It's like, oh, no. We've been watching Sherlock, which is on Stan, you know, which is Benedict Cumberbatch and The Hobbit, Martin Freeman. It's a great series if you're British, you know, whodunit series, Sherlock Holmes. And it's actually good for teenagers, but there was one episode that was very racy. We had to turn it off. Where Sherlock's getting whipped by some mistress thing. And she's walking around in the nude.
Well,
you couldn't really see anything, but it was just, you know.
There was only one time we got caught out, I think. We had some pornographic material and we put it on. And we used to do this thing where we would turn the sound down and we put the cricket commentary on over the... Fantastic. Coming in from the northern end now.
You know what your mum and dad were.
Yeah. Oh, what's... Well, you're not. Oh, no. Oh, what's... Oh, what? That's not appropriate. Oh, mum, stop. We were down in the rumpus room or something, you know.
Out. He's out. Oh, he's out all right. Just put those keys in that turf there. Oh, Tony Gregg. Here comes the music, I think.
There you go.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast, and we're actually in the same room, which is remarkable.
Well, it's been a while. We've been through some bumpy periods, technically, and
yes.
And you've had some issues.
Yeah.
I was in my overcompensating, yelling and trying to, you know, but hopefully we're back on the back on plane now. Sam.
Oh, yeah, she dropped ball a bit.
She dropped the ball twice.
Twice.
I don't know whether she's listening now, but.
Well, do you want to say anything to her?
Do you think it's time? Yeah, no, she's got one job, as someone said on Facebook. You got one job.
Yeah, you got one job, Sam.
You got one job, and are there other people that could do it?
Well, of course there are other people. We could get, you know, the Google speaker or, you know, Alexi.
We could get, you know.
Plenty of people.
Maybe the voice in the elevator could do it.
Yeah.
Boom. Well, you know, so.
So, Sam, what do you think? Is it time for you to leave?
At your peril, we are almost 200 episodes in. Glenn, have you caught 200 perfect waves in a row? Dave, are you soon to pass 200 flawless gigs? Have you heard people yelling at those Google and Amazon paperweights? Okay, Google, set a timer for 3 minutes. Okay, I'll get you a bin liner and tree nuts. Alexa, order corn from the local store.
Sure, ordering porn for your top draw.
How ridiculous. Good luck finding a replacement. Happy to be here.
Wait!
That's your work review.
She scares me.
Testy. All right, well, let's just get the topics then. Let's see if Sam can do her job.
Well, let's not say she's got one job. Let's just say she's got a very hard job and she's doing it very well because that scared me then.
Yeah.
What other topics, Sam, please?
Heinz and Donald Trump.
Heinz.
That must be in terms of Heinz, the company, baked beans, hungry little human beings.
As opposed to?
I don't know. What other Heinz is there? Yeah, right.
It's an American company.
Well,
isn't it?
It's someone's surname, though. The guy who founded it was Heinz.
Yeah.
You know, Rudolph Heinz or someone. And Donald Trump, have we done Trump before? We've done Trump before.
We may have spoken about Trump before.
But he's always good for a laugh.
But if we've had this discussion before. If you were going to bring out a food in a tin, would you name it O'Neill?
O'Neill.
I wouldn't call it
O'Neill's Beans. Robin's is probably a better name.
Robin's Beans is good.
Robin's Beans. O'Neill's Beans, nah, because you got an apostrophe and stuff.
What
it's
would
no
O'Neill
good.
Be? O'Neill's.
O'Neill's Noodles. Well, you need a little alliteration in there. O'Neill's Noodles. We had at Heinz the other day. The kids like the, well, they had baked beans yesterday on toast.
I'm going to say, it was, if you were in a share house, it was probably the number one thing in the cupboard,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was a piece of toast on a Sunday night and some baked beans on it.
Baked beans.
Go no further. But, you know, I'm on the old, I can't eat them anymore.
Too acidic or?
They just don't, they are one of the most important things in your diet, beans.
Beans, yeah.
That, for your gut. And I just, yeah, they don't agree with me.
Wow.
Wasn't there that scene in the Blazing Saddles where they all
fart?
Do they make you?
Yeah, they make everyone fart, I think.
In your house?
Definitely. Everyone's breaking wind with the beans. They also have spaghetti. And you know what we bought the other day for the beach house was a Jaffa line.
So you put the tinned spaghetti in the Jaffa line?
Yes.
Oh, I've got to say.
Oh, beautiful.
Was it good? Oh. But do the little bits of pasta get caught in your chin and burn you with the hot sauce?
Yes.
So they get so hot.
Oh, that Jaffa line though—they put back memories, and they've bought out a retro one. We got the retro one that cuts it in half.
Yeah, what's this going to say? There's two types of Jaffa line. There's the first one, which was the one that you put in the fire, which was
the camping one,
camping one.
Yeah, no, we're not that one.
And then the electric one, which was it made a Jaffa with a whole piece of the whole bit of
bread.
Then there's the one you're talking about, which cuts it in half. Now I got to say.
Mm.
I'm a more of a what bit of toast is your favourite bit of the toast? The centre bit or the crusty bit?
The centre bit, maybe.
Mine's the centre bit too. Selena loves the crust. And I reckon with a Jaffa cut in half, you're getting too much of the squashed, hard bread.
Yeah, true. I don't mind that though. I like that.
You don't mind?
I don't mind that.
Yeah,
I like that crispy bit.
No, I just reckon I'm not getting enough soft bit.
Oh. Heinz, what else? Baby food. When we had little babies, you'd feed them baby food, the Heinz baby food in the little cans.
I used to have that.
Yeah. It's been around forever. And what else? Heinz, of course, tomato sauce. You know tomato sauce? This is interesting. Tomato sauce originally didn't have tomatoes in it. Tomato sauce was originally a British thing with mushrooms and vinegar and sometimes walnuts. And then they added tomatoes about 20 years after.
But they still called it tomato sauce.
No, they called it. Let's call it sauce.
Sauce.
Just call it ketchup in America. But, you know, and also the other fact about tomato sauce is that people use tomato sauce before they use tomatoes. They're a bit wary of tomatoes because of the connection to poison ivy or whatever. They thought it was poisonous.
Oh, really?
But they would eat it in a sauce form. Yeah, because they found tomatoes a little bit, well, when you think about it,
acidic.
Tomato, it's a bit of weird fruit.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
What is a tomato?
It's a fruit.
We've
talked about this. Yeah, it's a fruit. Sorry. It's a fruit.
It's not a nut, is it?
No. It's not a nut.
Avocado's a nut.
A banana's a seed. Peanuts a legume.
I'm an idiot.
Strawberries are technically, the whole list.
Would
of
it be, again, like baked beans, would it be the first condiment you ever had?
You reckon baked beans?
Tomato sauce.
Oh, tomato sauce, definitely. I mean, when we grew up, that was the only condiment.
It had one. And then some houses would branch out to barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
That was exotic.
Oh, man, that was, oof.
That was a big deal. And I only had barbecue sauce a couple of years ago. I've got to say, it's really good.
Yeah, my kids like barbecue sauce. Now, especially my older son, he eats like a hamburger. All the relishes and the chutney, mayonnaise, mustard, tomato sauce, barbecue sauce, the chili sauces, they all come out.
All those years we didn't do that.
No.
We've missed out on so many wonderful flavours in our world.
Yeah, but then again, there's nothing better than a hamburger with just tomato sauce on it.
No, I agree.
Tomato sauce is still the number one sauce.
If you said to my tomato sauce, you want a relish on that, I'll go the relish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You've my problem,
I was asked to do, what's your favourite thing in a magazine? It was a weekender thing in a magazine.
Not the one where you list what you ate on the Sunday. I love that one. And everyone always has two bits of dark chocolate.
See, I do that.
No one's having a full block. Anyway, go on.
I put down my favourite thing is my Auntie Roma, my late Auntie Roma's. Auntie Roma. Isn't it funny when you say auntie or uncle? Anyway, green tomato chutney.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, to die for.
Yum.
But it didn't agree with me either. But anyway.
You can't have that now? You can't have that anymore?
No, I probably can, but you know. Now, answer me this. Is there a high level of sugar in tomato sauce?
Yes.
So is that what we're loving?
Yes. Yeah, it's like got a lot of sugar in it. A lot.
So why – you have to wonder why they would do that because it was –
just sweetens it a bit. I mean, when you make bolognese, you put a bit of sugar in there.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Is that your secret ingredient?
Yeah, it just helps it a bit.
Can you have chips without sauce?
Yeah. I like vinegar on chips, actually.
Yeah. But if there's sauce around, you'll go for it.
Oh, yeah. You got to have sauce on a potato cake. That's when you need sauce. Yum. Could I have a potato cake for
now,
a while?
Now, hang on. Did Heinz say 57 varieties?
Yes. Now, I think the Heinz guy, just invented that to be impressive when he had a small company. It's a kind of, you know, that talking yourself up. You know, so you see that with small companies sometimes. We got 57 varieties, but apparently he didn't even have 57. That was just like...
I thought he had more than 57.
I think eventually he had more than 57. Yeah, but initially I don't think he could
have. And so 57 was a cute number. He just liked the number.
He liked the number.
Yeah.
He liked the number. It's odd, isn't it? Because that's still on the packet. You still see that on the packet.
It's very catchy. 57 varieties.
57. Well, some, you know, some words are more catchy than others, they always say.
Did they have a jingle?
Heinz for hungry little human beings. That was Heinz, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Baked beans.
Beans means...
Oh, beans means Heinz.
Beans means Heinz, yeah.
Beans means Heinz. Baked beans and spaghetti for hungry little human beings.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. Like, played on a ukulele. Heinz. And they make soup too, of course. They're a soup manufacturer.
Yeah, but I do have to question.
Soup? When was the last time you had tin soup?
You know, if you have it's the salt level.
Oh, yeah. We used to love that tin soup when we were kids. The tomato soup. Oh.
That was a standard issue.
Yes,
again,
wasn't it?
Yeah, tomato
and
soup.
And Mum would add a bit of milk to it.
Would she?
Yeah, like creamy.
And you would, how
bread?
Would you eat it?
In a bowl. But you'd have bread with it. Like you'd dip bread.
You'd break bread up.
My kids still do that.
We lived through the war years the way we talk. Sorry about this to our younger listeners, but our older listeners will be relating very
well. Matt, the tennis coach, will be loving this. He'll be going to his dad. Dad, did you really have tomato soup and baked beans?
Break up bits of bread. And because I didn't like the – because you use a soup spoon.
Yeah.
And then one of your parents would normally go
– oh, yeah.
Off the, I don't know.
It's very Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You remember Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with the two sets of grandparents in the one double bed?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And as someone made a great meme about it, when Charlie announces that he's going to the Chocolate Factory, the granddad suddenly springs up and starts dancing. It's like lying in bed when there's work to be done. When you mention chocolate, he's up.
I reckon when you got a spoonful of soup, you go the whole mouthful. But you blow on it. You blow on it first.
Do you still have a lot of soup?
Hello. I think we talked about it on this. Sorry, we were saying that a lot today. I think Melbourne is undercated for in soup. I think there's a place called Hale and Hearty's in New York that has probably 57 varieties of soup.
So, when was the last time you had soup?
Oh, I can't remember.
Really?
Yep. We were talking about Sunday.
I made some pumpkin.
She said minestrone and meatball soup.
Oh. Yeah.
And I said, that sounds good. Obviously it's summer, so you're not gonna
have a
lot of soup. But I love soup.
What's your favorite soup?
Oh, good question.
Carpaccio. That's always horrific when you go to a restaurant and they serve cold soup. You're like, what is this?
Oh, yeah. You ordered the soup and you didn't realise.
Oh, no. Well, it was a set menu and you sit down and they give
cold.
You cold soup.
It's meant to be. I knew that. Oh, look, you know, I do like a pumpkin.
Yeah.
I do like a sweet potato. Maybe a sweet potato and pumpkin combined. Mm. I'm not big on your onion soup.
No.
I like a minestrone. I do like some meat in there. I do like it when there's a bit of pasta in there mixed up, or it's a whole meal in a plate. You don't like the pasta in there?
No.
Really?
No, the kids love it. I take pasta out.
You take the pasta out?
I have a few. I like minestrone too. I love minestrone, but I don't like the pasta much.
And we don't – in the US, they have a whole lot of other
– I love chicken noodle soup. You go to a restaurant, get a good chicken noodle soup.
Chicken noodle. So hang on. I'm thinking chicken and sweet corn.
Oh, that's good too.
Yeah.
I don't know. The restaurant soups always taste better. They've probably got more salt in them.
Yeah. And I like a little bit of chili in there too.
Ooh.
So, you know.
Is Donald Trump, he would not be a soup eater. He doesn't like a soup eater. Remember they do those things about his diet? It was always horrific. He would get two Big Macs and take the buns out. So he'd just eat the patties and...
Oh, really?
Well,
you can get that. You can do that now if you're not a bread person. You can ask for a bear burger.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's called a bear burger, where you just get two bits of lettuce.
Oh, God.
I think, and I've tried it, not too bad. It's hard to negotiate
mouth-wise
because you can't, because the bread is the holding it in position, whereas it's a bit of lettuce. It's a bit like San Chiao Bao. Oh, sorry, I've done an accent.
San Chiao Bao.
Sorry, I've done an accent. But San Chiao Bao
is... Don't you love doing accents? My kids tell me off for doing accents around the house, but, you know...
Yeah, they're just looking for when
I do, you know, it's like South African or something like that. Now, Dad, that's racist. I said, no, there's some accents you can do. You can do, and I always say, you know, you can do American, you know.
You can do American, like, you can do Irish, for sure, you know.
I said, you can do black rapper. He's like, no, you can't, Dad.
Look, it depends on the connotation of what you're doing.
And what your heritage is too, you know. I could be related to Ice-T, who knows?
Yeah, I used to do a Chinese doctor regularly on Mick Malloy's show. I'm not going to even say what his name was because there'll be complaints.
Yeah, well, I used to ring in as John So, the former Lord Mayor on, was it Vega or Nova? I used to ring in and say, "A nutsack." And Chrissy Swan would just start laughing and go, "What? A nutsack. I resign. A nutsack."
Well, I used to be Mick Malloy's personal doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I used to ring in to say why he couldn't come to work. I don't want to do it, but God,
we're not proud.
We could be called out by even talking about this.
We could get cancelled. We could be like Joe Rogan.
Yep. What were we going to say?
Donald Trump. Let's talk about Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
I do believe he's having another crack again at he still does these rallies.
Oh, no.
I heard a report on the ABC talking about it. He went along to one. He said he's still doing these rallies, and he uses them to raise money. He's raised millions of dollars.
Mm. So you people pay to come?
Yeah. No. I think the rallies are free, but then you go on a website and donate money to, like, the Donald Trump presidential campaign or whatever, you know. I think the rallies are always free.
Here's what I find interesting. Number one, when he came along, everyone went, no. Of course not.
Yeah.
And then he got a bit further, and then they got down to the last two, and you went, nah, no way.
And then
he got through. Then we really thought the world was going to end in some ways, in a lot of ways.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, I don't for a second think I condone him or his politics.
Yeah.
But the sky didn't fall in.
Well, that's it, because you know why? Because a government is run by many people.
That's right.
And as much as he tried to put in all his son-in-law and his daughter and all that, there's still bureaucrats running the government. I mean, admittingly, he sacked a lot of them. But it's like in Australia when, you know, ScoMo goes and Labor get in, they'll still have all the heads of the public service. You know, the heads of departments running stuff.
Yeah. So it doesn't. Yeah. Well, I mean, I look at Obama, and you question what's his legacy. As much as he was going to be the
two terms. Oh, healthcare. He changed healthcare.
But that was kicked out straight away, wasn't it?
No, it's still some of it's still.
Some are still okay.
And if my daughter's been reading his biography. Kieran gave it to me for his autobiography.
Yeah.
For Christmas on my birthday, it's a very big, thick, heavy book. Know. And then my daughter who's 15, who likes politics, said I'll read it. She's been reading it. So she's been giving us some updates and figures, and really interesting. He's Obama, but
he did not change the world, but he did have some legacy.
He did make some changes, for sure. And when you read about Obama healthcare, what he was just trying to do
was basic.
Stuff that we take incredibly for granted in Australia.
I know.
Whereas the Americans, and they would protest about, for example. One of the things he wanted to do was access to cheap insurance, cheap health insurance.
Yep.
And they even protested against that.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
And I don't understand. Why do they protest?
I don't know. They see it as an attack on theirs. But also, he says in his book, the right-wing people, the Republicans, all dress it up as like, this is just bad. He's trying to invade our lives and control our lives. And so they don't even understand what they're protesting.
It just feels like adversary for adversary's sake, doesn't it? It really does. But anyway, God, we're experts.
Well, I mean, look at what's happening in Canberra. Have you followed those so-called protesters in Canberra? It is hilarious. The amount of them. So there's people in Canberra protesting and about the vaccines and about vaccine mandates and all other stuff now, like just against politics in general. And there seems to be a large amount of them that love dressing up. So there's one guy who's a former pilot and he still wears his Qantas uniform. Oh, and then there's one guy who's a former AMBO, so he still wears his AMBO uniform with a stethoscope. And then there's another guy who was in the army and he still wears an army uniform, but it's not an Australian army uniform. It's some. He looks like Saddam Hussein and he wears the beret. And these are the leaders of...
Well, I guess it gets you some screen time, I guess.
It's just hilarious. Well, they get a bit of respect within their group because he's wearing a pilot's uniform. And I love it. I remember when, what was his name? General North, the guy, he was put up on charges in America and he got sacked by the army, but he would appear in court in his uniform when he wasn't meant to be wearing his uniform. And, you know, I remember a stand-up said, "You know, when you get sacked at KFC, you don't keep the uniform." And so I was talking about that on Twitter about surely this Qantas pilot, they take the uniform off him, and someone said when they worked at Pizza Hut, you had to give the uniforms back, and same with Red Rooster.
Why don't you go up there in your scout uniform?
I should go up there in the scout uniform.
or
my old Coles uniform. You know,
yeah, absolutely,
guys. Woolies, fresh food people here. We've got some things to say.
So Donald Trump came from money, didn't he? His father was in hotels, real estate.
All this stuff about being a self-made man is all not true.
And he's been like bankrupt five or six times.
His companies have been bankrupt.
But he hasn't been bankrupt.
No, he hasn't been bankrupt.
Oh, that's good for him, yeah.
And he's what they call a vexatious litigant. He's always in court. And at any present time, he's got 20 court cases going, either against him or it's kind of bizarre. What he does, Donald Trump.
But there's a sense that he's bulletproof as far as he is concerned.
He could go to jail. He could easily go to jail.
If you could use one word to sum him up, what would it be? Hello, Donald, if you're listening, by the way.
Yeah, Donald Trump. Oh, what's the word where you're full of bluster? That kind of, you know, like that.
Audacious or arrogant.
Arrogant, definitely. But also, I've watched his speeches, and he is amusing. I can see why, compared to a normal politician, while people gravitate towards him.
I do too.
He puts on a show.
Yeah, and I've seen him in a debate, not so much the one-on-one, when he's in a group debate, when there's a lot of them all. He punches hard and quick. And,
well, because he's been in showbiz for a long time.
I know. Yeah, and and even when he's blatantly lying, it works for him because it was a counterpunch that shut down that point. And he'll just snowstorm you. He'll just keep at you until you go.
No. You did a Trump, didn't you? An open slather. You did a.
Yeah, I did. I can't.
Can you do his voice?
I can't.
No, you can't, Glenn. Come on, Glenn. Try it.
I like burgers in bed. Laying back in bed eating a McDonald's. No, I can't.
There you go. That's pretty good.
Didn't he fall over down a ramp?
Oh, the ramp. That is one of my favorite. We should play the ramp song. So now, you know what? He had this whole thing when he was doing a speech and then he had to walk down this ramp and he sort of ran down the ramp and it looked like he was about to fall over.
But and he caught himself, did he?
Yeah. And then the journalist kept asking him, did you feel you're going to fall down the ramp? And then he made it a whole thing where he would go, I want to make it down that ramp, and I had to run down the ramp. I had to run. You know how he goes.
So he turned it into a positive.
Yeah.
That he had
to run down the ramp, like it was a challenge. And I was talking to Des Dowling, friend of the show, another comedian, because we do live gigs. And like last night, for example, at the Patton Hill Hotel, it was quite a high stage.
Yeah.
And when I went to walk off, because of the lights, I couldn't see where the ground was. So I got to say, and when you're wearing dress shoes like he does, not runners like we would wear on a stage.
Yeah.
You could easily slip down a ramp.
Yep.
I mean, they're all taking the piss out of him, but for once, I actually sympathised with him and went, he made the right decision to run down the ramp in the end, because if you start stopping, you'll slide.
Yeah. But you're right. Theatres and halls and anything where it's elevated, because your mind is on one thing and you're walking another way because you're thinking about the next question or that person over there, you can easily walk off.
And fall off stage.
Yeah, I remember Trevor Marmalade fell off the stage at Dick Whittington.
Eric Banner broke his leg.
Oh, did he?
His leg or his arm fell off the stage somewhere,
It's the worst feeling when you step and there's nothing there. I fell into my pool and broke my leg. I mean, it's an awful feeling when you go, I didn't realize. I mean, the orchestra pit, it's a frightening drop down there.
Dangerous.
So if you've got a ramp that's sort of pretty quick and then you weren't thinking about a ramp.
I ran down the ramp.
And there's a song about it, is it?
Yeah, this I know this guy does. He does songs and he makes up. We kept playing it and playing it with the kids. The kids loved it. I ran down the ramp. And the journalist is going, it wasn't really a ramp. He goes, no, the ramp. Then I ran down the ramp. He goes through the whole story. We'll play some for the thinking music.
Okay.
Well, we talked about it. Trump, we don't have to talk more about him. But he could be back. He could be the president again.
Yeah.
You know, I reckon?
Oh, well, you would know more than me.
In terms of Republicans, it was in the paper the other day, he's still the most popular Republican out there.
And they'll let him run because...
Well, they all hate him.
Yeah.
A lot of them hate him. But because of that, what happened on, you know, when all the people overrun Congress or whatever in America.
Yeah.
That was crazy. It ran down the ramp. And so
it happened here. It could happen in Canberra with a whole lot of people dressed up as pilots.
Yeah. And ambos. And
ours wouldn't be as make world news like theirs did. But we got a couple of blokes out the front, a couple of pilots, a couple of doctors, a couple of vets out there.
They're all obsessed by pedophiles. Who are those guys? They're always talking about pedophiles in Canberra. Mm. We've got to get in there and we've got to knock out the pedophiles. And Satan. There's always satanic pedophiles.
Dug down deep on it. It is more to do with the fact that you're a part of a group.
Look, these guys should join the Lions Club and build a playground.
Yeah, because you feel as though you're achieving and you're pushing against something. You like being with like-minded people.
Yeah.
So if you go, oh, yeah, I'm converted to that. Yeah, and then you start to yell, and then everyone starts yelling.
Yeah.
And you go, this feels good. I'm releasing a part of me that I didn't even know was there.
Yeah, so, it's true. I know. They should join the SES, the volunteers.
We often get it when we do a live show. The somehow related people turn up and they
We're all at one?
Yep, and we join hands. Anyway.
Should we have some thinking music? Let's have the ramp song.
The ramp song.
Down the ramp. It's funny.
It's a rap.
It's sort of like a synth kind of.
Oh, okay.
You'll hear it. Okay. I don't know if we can play all of it, but we'll play some of it. It is quite funny, the ramp.
There you go.
And this was a steel ramp. Really, really steep. It was like an ice skating rink. I said, there's no way, there's no way I can make it down that ramp without falling on my ass. Inch by inch, I took these little steps. When I was 10 feet short, I ran down the ramp. I ran down the ramp. I looked very
There we go. Get the beats going. Well, I'm going to have a crack and say Donald Trump and Hines. I reckon Donald Trump's dad has something to do with Hines. I reckon he was one of the founders of, Yeah, he was involved in Hines Company. Gee. What do you reckon?
I'm going to get really, really basic.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Donald Trump has Hines tomato sauce every meal of the day. So he has it on his eggs in the morning. He has it on his club sandwich, on his chips for lunch, and at nighttime he has it on his spaghetti.
Apparently he's a big Diet Coke. He had a special Diet Coke.
Well, if you got together.
Or a Diet Coke button.
A Diet Coke button?
He had a button put in the White House where he'd press and they'd bring in a can of Diet Coke. And he was drinking
put a tap in the...
Get some post-mix going, mate.
Yeah.
No, he was drinking 10 cans a day, apparently.
That's got to be good for you. That's not good. As you look down the ingredients, there's a whole lot of stuff that your body's just going, thank you for that.
Come on, Sam. Show us what you're made of. What is the answer?
Donald Trump is related to Henry J. Hines, the founder of the Hines Company. The two families shared ancestral home in Germany, and Donald Trump's grandfather, Frederick Trump, was the second cousin of Henry Hines, founder of the Hines Company.
Oh!
Wow.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Do you reckon they still get together?
Yeah, I reckon. Hey, how's it going? How's the little sauce company doing over there? Oh, well, Donald, we're doing like $2 billion. Yeah. I like your sauce, but you know what you could do? Any money, he'd offer him advice. You know what? You know what I find with your sauce? Just write this down. I find it's a little bit too salty, you know. And the Hines guy would be going, oh, this second cousin, what a pain in the ass.
But as I said before, surely he's got to be going, I love what you do.
You'd reckon.
Because he would have to like tomato sauce.
You'd reckon.
And he would have to prefer Heinz in the White House. You would think so. He'd be a tomato sauce guy.
Yeah, he would have to be a tomato sauce guy. He would have to be. And you're right, he should appreciate it. And surely he'd say to his second cousin, you guys are doing a great job, you know, good American company. You know,
I wonder who's worth more. Probably Heinz is worth as
I reckon Heinz. Because Trump's been his company's been bankrupted a few times. So even though he's got family money, but no, Heinz would be worth a fortune. It's an international company.
Hmm.
It's an international company. So yeah.
Beans means taking over the free world. No, that's bad.
Nah.
Just trying to think of a joke to get us out.
Baked beans, Heinz. Well, I think Sam's back in good form, so she can stay. Do we agree she can stay?
Sam, apologies for anything we said earlier. Yeah. We love you, and if we could, we'd give you a hug and say thanks for your good work, and we forgive you for
all your stuff-ups. But we've got you a virtual can of baked beans. There you go. Enjoy.